Broadcasting from behind the Second Amendment Iron Curtain in the shadows of the New York City skyline, this is Gun for Hire Radio, the voice of 1 million New Jersey gun owners, with your hosts, Sandy Berardi and Master Firearms Trainer, Anthony Calandra.
From deep within the large intestine that is the Second Amendment wasteland that is New Jersey.
This show is being previously taped a week early because I had to go to Disney World.
You're in Disney World.
I've been in Disney World as this show is airing, actually. That's right. This show airs the 18th. Obviously, we're recording it on the 11th, one whole week early, so sorry's about that. But we dragged some lawyer in off the street. He was outside. He was
chasing an ambulance back and forth in a parking lot.
He's not that kind of lawyer. Scott Bach, say hello.
Hello, and I'm a recovering lawyer for the record.
Yes. So today being the 18th, that would mean the rally is only 6 days away.
Right.
And we're hoping to have a response like they had in Rhode Island. Did you see Darren's post or anything about Rhode Island?
Yeah, 4,000 people showed 4, up.
4,000 people showed up. I'd
and
like
if they
to see
can
us
do
break
that in liberal Rhode Island. Which is dark, dark blue. We can do that here.
We're expecting a big turnout.
Now, I've heard naysayers say it's not going to do anything, Scott. I need you to talk about that because I've been dispelling that for the past three shows. So I need some backup.
Well, let's understand the big picture, okay? Rallies generally don't change legislator votes, okay? And so if you look at a rally and say, is that going to make a legislator change their vote, someone who's committed? No. But the community now needs this rally, and you'll see in the past, NRA and ANJRPC haven't encouraged rallies, but we need one now because you know the most important thing, and you've heard me talk about this in previous shows, is that we remain engaged and we fight every step of the legislative battle, every inch, for the reasons previously stated. We have to make them feel the heat. We have to make it painful and uncomfortable for our enemies, and our friends have to know that we're watching. And right now, this rally serves a number of purposes. One of them is literally, it sounds funny, but to rally the troops.
We have
to get out. We have to realize that there are a lot of us, that we're all engaged. And the other side needs to know we're not going away. They need to know anytime they bring up a bill, we are all going to be there. We're going to be out. We're going to be in their faces. We're going to fight them tooth and nail every step of the way. We're not going to shut up. We're going to expose their hypocrisy and the stupidity of their proposals. And, you know, it's pretty neat, assuming that the votes take place on the day that we're expecting them to take place, the same afternoon of the rally. When the rally concludes, anybody who wants to go over to the State House and pack the galleries and watch them actually vote, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what that dynamic is like. So Anthony, anybody who says that this rally is not necessary is definitely out of touch. Our guys need this. We are facing the worst crisis we've ever faced in the state of New Jersey. It is a perfect storm, a perfect anti-gun storm in the State House. Now is the perfect time for a rally.
Especially with what's going on nationally, where the Second Amendment is under attack.
Florida. Whoever would have thought.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? Who would have thought?
So, and I was just telling Anthony on the last show that I was down in Greenville, South Carolina, and a Republican who is the head of the Law and Public Safety Commission committee stalled the bill that would allow school carry with teachers. And a local radio host, talk show host, heard about that from Greenville, and she got on the radio. Everybody just dumped on this woman. Within 2 hours, she was on the radio, completely reversed back to her. You know, no, you misunderstood. Oh, no, you absolutely misunderstood. But so it, even if it's just like you say, Scott, even if it's just for us, we need this. We need to see each other and see that there are a lot of us out there. And if it does nothing but just bolster our own resolve for what's ahead of us, that's pay off enough.
It will also make the antis very, very uncomfortable.
Oh, yes.
They do not like it when we speak out as a group. They do not like it when we pack the galleries and watch them while they cast their unconstitutional
they
votes.
They love to do it in the dark.
In the dark of night, you know, in the secret, behind closed doors as much as they can. That's their history, like Fred One Gun a Month Madden.
Yep.
Yeah.
Many moons ago.
Right.
You know, it literally, that was in the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night.
So, yeah, we need this, and it's important. And look at this. You know, there's all these anti-gun rallies that are going on nationally and throughout the region and all across the country. We need to come out in force on this thing, and we need to show our fellow gun owners, we need to show the media, we need to show legislators, lawmakers, the governor, that we are here, we're angry, and we're not going away.
Right. And we're united.
Yes.
You know, right now they think that we are not. They think that we're just going to sit and roll over the same way that we have in the past, which, hey, it's not their fault. That is what we have demonstrated, that everybody's just waiting for somebody else to go ahead and do it. And it's the same, you know, same 1,000 people or same 2,500 people who show up all the time. If we could just really come in and dump on that city,
shut her down.
Shut her down. Yeah.
Now, come on. Now, wait a minute. Just
shut her down.
For the record, I want to say this is a peaceable gathering of gun owners. The goal is to exercise our First Amendment rights, not to shut anything down.
That's the lawyer.
That's the recovering
lawyer.
We're going
to be shutting down all the eateries and bathrooms.
That's right, for sure.
That's
right. And if everybody brings their car, I don't know how that works out. But
I said on last week's show, Scott, I don't like the Lafayette Hotel. I stayed there that once.
Who
you
does?
Were there, Darren, there, and everybody.
God,
so what I did was I booked a hotel in Ewing about 8 miles away, and then I'm just going to Uber or Lyft over to the rally and then Uber or Lyft back to the hotel. Just another idea for people. Buses are being planned.
Yes,
and by now it's the 18th. That info should be out. But please, friends, neighbors, everybody, March 26th, it's 9 a.m. at Military Park. We're all going to start to meet and peacefully assemble. And we're just going to show our disdain for what they're doing to us taxpaying, law-abiding citizens. It's amazing, but if this issue was if whether illegals could have guns or not, there'd be no issue.
Oh, yeah,
they'd write an exemption.
Oh, of course they would.
Okay, they only go after us. Did you see what Sweeney said last week about the federal tax cuts with Trump's tax bill? He wants to implement a bill to make those cuts payable back to the state because us businesses, we didn't make anything, we didn't earn anything, we didn't do anything for that extra money, and that'll help with some of the budget for shortfalls in New Jersey.
And remember, it's not your money.
It's
it
not
belongs
my money.
To the state.
Correct.
Except what the state lets you keep.
Yes, they let you keep that.
Unbelievable.
That's right.
Unbelievable.
Now, what I'm interested to see is how Big Pharma makes out in this. There's going to be an exemption for Big Pharma, you can guarantee.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, without a doubt. There'll be carve-outs. What do you think about Governor Connecticut Malloy calling us a terrorist organization, the NRA? How do you feel about that?
Well, come on. Listen, we're accused of being all kinds of things, but think about it. I mean, we are one of the oldest civil rights organizations in the United States.
146 years.
Yeah. If you look in the, you know, the bylaws, the Constitution and bylaws of NRA, right there, our mission is to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, especially the Second Amendment. Okay, maybe these days from the progressive left, that is, maybe they regard us as terrorists.
Yeah, maybe that is a terroristic threat. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, that's just absurd. I mean, the guy's out of touch. He's part of, I guess he's part of this new coalition with Governor Murphy now, so,
oh, yeah.
he's emboldened.
He's got some balls now all of a sudden.
Yeah, his state is $54 billion deficit. And
so
he's
that we have a lot in common,
terrorists.
Right? I mean, we have their state is broke, our state is broke.
And California's broke, New York's broke. What's the common denominator with those states?
I can't figure that one out. I'm not really sure.
What's the common denominator? Oh, all run by Democrats.
Oh, there you go.
That's it. Because Christie really was a Democrat.
He
was a moderate, very moderate Republican. Boy, I wish we had him back right now. Oh, man, I wish we had him back.
I want to tell you about my friend Katie. Katie is a nurse, and she was attacked on her way home from work. She was totally taken by surprise, and although Katie is only 5 feet tall and 106 pounds, she was easily able to drop her 6'4", 250-pound attacker to his knees and get away unharmed. Katie wasn't just lucky that day. She was prepared. In her pocketbook, a harmless-looking lipstick, which really contained a powerful man-stopping aerosol propellant. It's not like it was in our grandmother's day. Today, just going to and from work or to the mall can have tragic consequences. The FBI says a violent crime is committed every 15 seconds in the United States, and a forcible rape happens every 5 minutes. and chances are when something happens, no one will be around to help. It looks just like a lipstick, so no one will suspect a thing, which is important since experts say getting the jump on your attacker is all about the element of surprise. Inside this innocent-looking lipstick is the same powerful stuff used by police and the military to disarm even the most powerful armed aggressor. In fact, National Park Rangers use the very same formula that's inside this little lipstick to stop 2,000-pound vicious grizzly bears dead in their tracks. It's like carrying a personal bodyguard with you, in your purse or your pocket. Darkness brings danger. Muggers and rapists use darkness to their advantage. We all know what it's like to be walking at night and hear footsteps coming at us from behind. Who's there? If it's somebody bad, will you be protected? Your life may depend on it. My friend Katie's close call needs to be a wake-up call for all of us, myself included. Pick up a lipstick bodyguard and keep it with you always.
The world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed.
And what better way to say I love you than giving the ones you love a gift to keep them safe? Lipstick Bodyguard. It looks just like a beautiful little lipstick, but just like a beautiful woman, it has the power to bring a grown man to his knees.
Lipstick Bodyguard. Fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Just follow the link on the gunforhireradio.com homepage.
And this segment is brought to you by County Line Firearms. County Line Firearms NJ, located on Route 10 East in East Hanover, across street from the Best Buy. Stop at County Line Firearms and see Carlos and tell him Gun for Hire Radio sent you. Do not forget the Cheeseman Gilliard case for right to carry, which is running at the same time as the NRA ANJRPC case, right to carry. Anvil and hammer, I guess, or the hammer and the anvil would be a good terminology.
I prefer the nuclear option.
We wish. Their page is gofundme.com/restore-carry-nj. Make a donation, $5, $10, or whatever. What's going on with the New Jersey right to carry case that ANJRPC is pushing?
Well, we're proceeding. The state has asked for more time to respond. We originally anticipated their response by mid-March, and it won't be until late March or early April that we have the response. Listen, these things have a very predictable path. Their options are to answer. They can answer our complaint, which they're not going to do, or they can move to dismiss the case, which is what they probably will do. What that means is if they're successful in it, the case is gone. Okay, and then it's up to us to appeal. It's motion to dismiss basically says, this case has no merit. It has so much merit, the lower court shouldn't even bother to hear it. And they will probably argue that based on the prior case and the prior case law, the Drake case, that the issues have already been resolved. Of course, they have to look to the Washington D.C. case, the Grace case, and the law has changed and it's a whole different deal now. But look. Right to carry, its time is coming in New Jersey. I know we've all been waiting a long time. One way or the other, one of these cases, whether it's our case, whether it's the Gillard Cheeseman case, whatever it is, national reciprocity, whatever's coming, it's all going to wind up in the U.S. Supreme Court, and that issue is going to be resolved not just for New Jersey but for the entire nation.
And we're all playing nice because you guys lent an ear to the Cheeseman case and ANJRPC, and you made a donation to the GoFundMe on the Cheeseman case, too. I saw that on the webpage.
Yes, I did personally, and so did ANJRPC. And that's because we're in this together, and nobody has a monopoly on what the right way is to do things or the wrong way to do things. Mm-hmm. That case has a different angle. And we have to slay this dragon together. Okay, we have to win on right to carry. Okay, it has to be resolved. We've been waiting so long, and now all these things that have delayed federal action on right to carry reciprocity, who knows how long it's going to be delayed by what recently, happened in Florida. So we have to keep the fight up. We have to keep pressing. And, we support anyone who's as I have been known to say, rowing in the same direction, Anthony.
Right. Right. Rowing in the same. There's your oar over there.
I'm sorry, I brought
there's
that
the
up.
Oar.
Because we've got the oar right behind us.
You're ready to beat me over the head with, right?
Yep. Listen, Benjamin Franklin, right? We either hang together or we will surely hang separately. And that's why this rally is so important, too. There's really no excuse for people not to be there unless you have something planned. But if you can make it, there's power in numbers. And I'd love to meet all the other 2A patriots in the state. A lot of them I'm connected with through social media, a lot through emails and stuff. I would just love to, you know, shake everybody's hand for being there
that
day.
It's good just to see each other. That camaraderie has to be. I think we're so separated. And I think in New Jersey, one of the biggest problems is the fact that we don't raise our hand and say that we're gun owners. We keep it very quiet, and we do it out of necessity, really.
You're right. I mean, that's the nature of conservatives generally.
Yeah.
They're not the ones who are out there, you know, pounding their fists.
Right, which is kind of funny, too.
They tend to be quiet and polite.
Off air, Scott was saying about how the police are a little nervous. And I'm like, why did they have a group of – it'd be like a group of priests showing up at Trenton. Why would you be nervous that it's us? We are the law-abiding people who are there. Each and every one of us who is going to this rally has been background checked. We've had a colonoscopy by the state. We've been fingerprinted, had mugshots taken, our backgrounds and mental health investigated, our employers verified, every single one of us.
No mugshots yet.
No mugshots. Well, in my town, they have mugshots.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Did you tell that to Dan Schmutter and the permitting strike force? Wait, your town requires you to take picture?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they keep them on file. In your file, they have a little file of all the guns that you own. Yeah, in the thing. And I tried
maybe
to,
not so little file, depending
maybe
on.
Maybe not so, depending upon. But I gave all mine away, which, you know, I donated them to the Girl Scouts because they apparently needed them. And, I may get some more at another time. But right now is absolutely no reason to search my home. So.
You know, did you guys see the hit piece on NorthJersey.com, Senator Pumpkinhead Menendez? He had them shooting AR-15s and stuff, AR-15-style rifles. And his statement, his public statement, you ready? I'm going to read it verbatim. This is the headline. Mm-hmm. Senator Bob Menendez says Second Amendment right shouldn't include assault rifles.
Okay.
Well, it doesn't include assault rifles.
Shouldn't include Senator Menendez.
It doesn't include assault rifles.
Yeah.
Well, he's a constitutional scholar, isn't
he? Yes, he is.
Yes.
He sure is. Yes, absolutely.
Yes, it doesn't include assault rifles anyway, because we don't own, we can't
shouldn't
own assault rifles.
Shouldn't
he
be on a plane to the Dominican Republic or something?
Well,
Dr.
Melgen
children.
Went to jail for 17 years.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And he didn't
go to jail, well, because he's a Democratic politician in New
Bill
Jersey.
Bill Clinton was on the same plane.
Did Torricelli go to jail?
No, I don't think he ever did, did he?
No. You don't go to jail if you're a Democrat.
No, if you're a Democrat. Only Republicans go to jail.
It's hard. Although Christie put a share of Democrats in prison, but they were lower level, but he put a share of them away.
Yeah, that's true.
He did do a good job when he was attorney general?
U.S. attorney.
U.S. attorney, yeah.
Well, it's hard to tell the difference between mugshots and the pictures of these state senators a lot of times in New Jersey. It's especially Essex County where...
You know, I saw this other thing on 101.5, Scott, where New Jersey ranks, let me see the title right here.
New Jersey ranks
high in gun violence prevention. We've talked about this. We talked about this when we testified in Trenton, too, right? I mean, 25 states like Florida get an F for gun safety regulations. We get an A.
Well, that's why Newark and Trenton are so safe.
Anthony, we can do better. We need to do more.
We need to do more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
It's a good start, but
it's
if
a good start.
If
let's
save
bump stocks again. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And that'll make it better.
Yeah. Let's have more redundant ammunition ban.
Right. Yeah.
Well, let's have background checks on
background
sales
checks.
That require background checks.
Right. Yeah. That
this
would be an important.
It's repetitively
start.
Redundant.
Yes. Yes.
This is the Giffords Law Center to prevent gun violence. The annual gun law scorecard. It was California, New York, Massachusetts, Hawaii, New Jersey. New Jersey received an A-. 25 states received an F, okay?
Is that the article where the reporter didn't know the difference between a semi-automatic firearm?
No, that was it was full semi-auto. You saw
full,
that?
Full
that
semi-auto.
Was,
that
semi-auto.
Was, that was, full semi-auto. That was CNN.
That's in our reel. We have
as opposed to semi-auto?
Yes.
Yeah, as opposed to
semi-auto. It was full semi-auto.
Wow.
It's like
can I get one of those?
Bullets.
That sounds cool.
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. I was hoping I'd be able to get one.
for many people walking into a range the first time, it's quite intimidating. So when you walk in through the double doors, the first thing you'll see on your left is a concierge. When people walk in, they can take a tour of the range, or maybe they're coming in for an appointment with one of my instructors or me, and they'll be directed to the right classroom. It kind of softens the entire experience. It makes people feel more at home. As you walk further into the range, you're going to notice we have New Jersey's only indoor 50-yard range, which is heated and air-conditioned. The dividers at each port are bulletproof. They're extra wide ports so two people can stand side by side and shoot. There's lights in the ports, so you're well lit. We also have three times as much light down range that the average range would have, because I believe it's important that the targets are well lit. Our target retrieval system is all digital. You program how many feet you want to send it out, and it stays there. Both of our ranges are tactically baffled, which means when we run our higher level courses, you can move forward to the firing line and shoot in any direction, and bullets can't escape. When you come out of the 50-yard range, to your left, you'll see our large classroom, and go back up to the concierge and make a right. We have two smaller classrooms, and those classrooms are for small one-on-one classes, our Build-A-Bear, building an AR. As you enter through there, you'll see that we have a portal with a key to go into our Platinum Lounge. They can sit around and watch TV on the leather chairs or couches, and they can maybe work deals with their clients. And you normally don't see a cafe in an indoor range. New Jersey, we have this archaic law where you're only supposed to go from your house to the range to the house with no unnecessary deviations. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in now where they have multiple kids and the wife will stay in the cafe with one or two kids and they'll do a handoff. To me, it's very important that people are treated like family, so the bathrooms are very high-end. We use marble and quarian and really nice tile and full-length dividers so that people are comfortable when they come in. When you exit the bathroom, you'll see the Gun for Hire radio studio where Sandy and I tape our show. After you pass that and you make a left, you'll notice our retail area. Over 120 firearms for rent. As you turn 180 degrees, you see the large sections of bulletproof glass. That's our 25-yard range. And inside our 25-yard range, we have 13 ports. Those ports are even wider than the 50-yard range. Both ranges have full-time range safety officers. In case you have any questions or concerns, they're there to help you.
With the news, events, and political shenanigans impacting your freedom, you're listening to Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
Decaf.
Yeah.
It is decaf. You know,
we switched to decaf. We do not go live until the last minute.
The last second
we make his microphone.
He's getting a muscle flutter over here.
Is that what you were?
Yeah. I cut back on caffeine, nicotine, Thorazine, benzene,
all Visine. The zines?
And Seconal, a banana a day, more water.
you could maybe use some more Seconal.
And it went away.
That's good.
This segment is brought to you by Liberty Office Suites. LibertyOfficeSuites.com has two locations, one on Changebridge Road in Montville and one on New Road in Parsippany. Ron has a meeting room that holds 70 people in their Montville office for as little as $58 a month. It's like a timeshare professional environment. Check out LibertyOfficeSuites.com. Scott, let me see. I got, before we get into your whole talking about the bills and what's coming up, there was a letter that went to the Daily Journal by one of our supporters and said that really it's simple. We should just vigorously prosecute criminals with guns that commit crimes now.
That's a novel idea.
Right. I think I've heard you say that in Trenton, I don't know, 200 or 300 times.
100,000 times.
You know, and so... this was Robert McKenzie from Vineland wrote this, you know, and that there should be like no possible way to plea bargain a gun away in a violation, which they do all the time, which is a violation of the Graves Act, right? They strike a deal, they drop the gun charge, they get time served, and they get out. But the law-abiding citizen goes to jail for 7 years like a Shinny Allen or Brian Aiken.
Right. Exactly. Right. They throw the book at the law-abiding gun owner, and everyone else is catch and release.
Low-hanging fruit. It's
and you've
easy
talked
to do.
About this... every time you go before the legislators, you say the same thing. We should be enforcing our laws, and we should only have one law, and that's where you do. What do you usually say?
Well, caught them off guard here. Listen, what I say a lot to just general audiences that I speak to is, in the end, there's really only one gun law that we need. If you commit a violent crime with a gun, we lock you up and throw away the key. If your crime is heinous enough, possibly you get the death penalty.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we need. Everything else is about you and me. No matter, you know, everything else is targeted at us.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, listen, this is what it all comes down to. It doesn't matter whether we're an A minus or an A plus on the gun ban scale. They have a different agenda. And I know it sounds paranoid and people accuse us of paranoia. In fact, Senator Weinberg accused me that in that Mike Kelly piece on smart guns the other week.
It's not paranoia when they're actually out to get you.
Well, look, I mean, that's the thing. We know what their agenda is. Okay.
Right.
It will never be enough. Whatever law you have, it's not enough.
Right.
And it's this same problem, reaction, solution thing again. Okay, we have a problem. We have an incident. We have a crime. We have a tragedy. We have to do something.
We must do something.
It doesn't matter whether that something is rationally related to the next potential thing. And then we do something. Everybody is quiet. It calms down until the next problem. And obviously we need to do one more thing and one more thing and one more thing. Listen, they should just come out and admit it. They don't think that law-abiding citizens should be allowed to own guns. Their goal is confiscation.
Yes, that's right.
They've said it.
Yes.
Okay. You're not paranoid when three New Jersey state senators say it on an open mic among themselves.
Right.
That is their goal. They should just say it instead of all this contortion.
You'd respect them a little bit more.
These people contort around these crazy bills that embarrass and humiliate them. I mean, every time they have this legislation, I mean, part of my job, and Knappen works with me behind the scenes and Dan Schmutter, is dissecting these bills. And the seeds of insanity are in all of these bills. And, you know, our goal is to find them, exploit them, point them out. And I can't tell you how many times, as we've launched our analysis of these bills, they go scrambling. They do last-minute amendments. They promise to amend after the fact as they're embarrassed by their own bills. I mean, you know, when you look at these mental health bills, the red flag laws, you know, the marriage counselors can cause your guns to be seized. In the end, I mean, you can rip these things to shreds. The goal of that is supposed to be, in an emergency, if there's somebody who shouldn't have a gun, you're supposed to be able to get that gun removed from the person, right? So they create this lengthy process where you have to go into court. You have to fill out paperwork. You have to petition the court. The court might not go your way. Why, if it's a true emergency, why wouldn't you just call the police? Police have expanded powers in emergency situations. They can go in and handle it now. So think about this. You think your neighbor is going to go shoot up a school. Do you, A, choice A, do you fill out some paperwork, download the forms off the internet, fill out some paperwork, run down to court, and hope that the court, you know, grants an order?
Right?
Okay. And by the way, why can't you give notice to the gun owner if you're going to go through that lengthy process? Or B, are you going to call the cops right then and there and say, hey, there's a problem. You need to come here now.
Right.
All right. I mean, you've heard me say the police have no legal duty. That doesn't mean they don't try. It doesn't mean they don't show up most of the time. It doesn't mean they don't, if they're given the heads up, it doesn't mean that they don't actually intervene. So, I mean, when you think about it, what really do these bills do? Create a lengthy, cumbersome process that adds time to the problem. Their goal, obviously, is to harass gun owners.
Exactly.
Obviously. That's the only thing 100%. That it can do.
Exactly.
So
I had a conversation with somebody over this past weekend, and they couldn't understand why. You know, they're kind of making fun of, and we did a little sizzle reel here where we've got all these ridiculous statements made by the press and to show their ignorance at the press and the politicians about firearms, right? And he's like, well, how come they don't take the time to you know, get to know this legislation before they go and pass it? I said, you're operating under the assumption that they want to be selective in what they do. The only time it doesn't matter when you don't to know any of this information is when you want a complete and utter ban. And that's exactly what they do. They don't give a crap between the difference between a semi-automatic and a fully automatic weapon.
Correct.
They just want them all gone.
We have to get rid of those magazine clips.
The magazine clips, they're very important to get rid of. Yeah, and the heat-seeking bullets. Oh, seriously? You know.
Parkland kid, the nut, used 10-round magazines, by the way.
Yeah. So, and by the way, that's not the only mass tragedy where that happened. That was also in Columbine, also in Virginia Tech, 10-round magazines.
Right.
Completely shatters the argument, which, by the way, think about this for a second. The argument of the other side, and they've made this argument in Trenton and throughout the country, is that magazines have to be changed so it gives victims an opportunity to tackle the attacker. So we want to limit magazine clips to 10 rounds so that in a magazine change, the victims can tackle the attacker. How about you give the victims a gun to shoot the attacker in the head and stop him?
Instead of using just their body to prevent the kids from getting shot.
And how naive to think that you can't change a magazine in under a second if you practice it for 15 minutes.
Right.
I mean, it's absurd.
Exactly.
So what would New Jersey's currently proposed 10-round magazine ban do?
Nothing.
Well,
they don't.
It wouldn't do anything. Because guess what? Criminals and madmen aren't going to follow
it.
Who's going to follow it, Sandy?
You and me.
That's right.
Yep.
Right. That's right.
Because we don't want to go to jail for 7 years.
Right.
And that's pretty much it.
Right.
You know, and how about let's not teach the kids to herd all in a nice-tight cluster so a blind guy could come in and waste everybody.
How many years have I been saying rush the nut?
Rush the nut, yeah.
Rush the nut.
Right.
If you rush the nut, you got to listen. You might be dying cornered in that room anyway. Rush that nut. He's got to change magazine. Not only that, but if one of these gamers sees somebody actually running towards him, he'll shit himself.
Right, exactly.
That's what Jeff Cooper used to say.
Yes.
Surprise your attacker.
Yes.
The last thing they're expecting is a massive, violent counterattack.
Absolutely.
But they don't ever
think Cooper. That way. Time and memories, the two most precious things you can give someone. No cell phones, no video games, no electronic devices, no interruptions. Just your favorite gun, a couple boxes of ammo, and time spent together. The folks at Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range believe there's no time like the present, and no present like time. Step through their doors, and you'll feel time stand still. It may look like a luxury shooting range, but what they really sell is the perfect day, and perfect memories are made from perfect days. Gun for Hire Woodland Park Range, where family memories begin.
They said it wouldn't last. That was just wishful thinking. Gun for Hire Radio, the most listened to Second Amendment broadcast in the nation.
A giant hole.
You can blackmail me with that.
And this segment is brought to you by Gunsitters. Gunsitters.com is located on Route 10 East in Whippany in the Pine Plaza, under the Pancake House and under Easy Scott and under my eye doctor, the eye place. So check out Gunsitters.com. Listen, if you need a place to store your guns, they have a facility in Easton, PA. They're opening one in Salisbury, Maryland. They're opening one in Vegas right now, and I believe they're opening one in Hawaii.
I want to be there for the January opening of that one.
Which one?
Hawaii.
I'll take Salisbury, Maryland. I don't care. Ew.
Yeah, I like Salisbury, Maryland.
Yeah, ew.
It's a good barbecue place.
Is that where they invented Salisbury steak?
Yeah,
probably not.
In June, we'll be at Matthew's cafeteria, Sandy.
Unless it was made from
Blade
horse
show.
Meat.
Oh, I like horse meat, too. I've had horse meat. In June, we'll be at...
IKEA.
We'll be at...
Meatball.
Yeah, we'll be at the Blade Show
in
June.
Yes.
So we're going to be at Matthew's Cafeteria.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Of
we're bringing Sivan with us this time.
In Tucker, Georgia.
Me, you, and Sivan are going. I rented a car this time. I got you a Barbie minivan.
Cool.
So, all right, I did the readers. Remember now.
Is it pink, I hope?
Can we still vote for Scott Bach for NRA?
Please.
Okay.
Please,
so
we're running out of time.
His website is Scott. S-C-O-T-T, Bach, BACH.com, ScottBach.com, Bach for NRA, the only New Jersey board member representing. And remember the GoFundMe case we talked about. We talked about next Monday. Everybody's going to be at the rally on the 26th. Be there or be square. I have a mystery guest coming into tape on the 23rd. That show will air the 25th. They haven't canceled yet.
They still haven't canceled?
They haven't canceled. We're running down to the wire here. So this could be epic. I'm going to get a lot of crap for this from some people. I'm going to get some accolades from others. But at this point, we have nothing to lose.
No, we don't.
But as of right now, it's still on.
I still don't believe it.
The president of ANGRPC,
I do not think
it's happening.
When it sits down in that seat.
Well, guess what? Let's see. What do I have to lose?
Okay. That's true.
I'm writing the show around that person for the taping on the 23rd.
Okay.
And we'll see what's going on. Wow. You know, but I think it's cool. So, Scott, what else you want to talk about, Scott? Please.
I'd like to talk about the legislation that's pending because...
All yours.
You know, everybody who says our activism makes no difference need only look at what has happened since we came out en masse at that hearing on February 28th.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, we thought within a week of that, the bills would be through both houses of not both houses, but through committees in both houses. And while they've emerged from an assembly committee, they were supposed to go through another assembly committee because they intend to amend the bills because they realize how flawed they are.
Yeah.
Okay. The Senate has had multiple opportunities to hear these bills. And by the way, I may be eating these words by the time this airs because, you know, as of the time we're taping this, we thought these bills were going to be through committee. They're not, and we don't know when, as of this taping, we don't know when they're coming up.
Correct.
By the time this airs, they could have come up the preceding week, but as of a Friday afternoon before that, we still don't know. We're still waiting. We've identified the potential dates. The bottom line is, if they don't vote on these on the 26th, both houses don't vote, their next opportunity to do that is not going to be until May. And because they have their budget recess for April, the only thing they focus on is the budget.
Time off.
And where they can steal more money.
Right. Yeah, right. There you go. Well, that's the priority, of course. Yeah, of course. It takes a whole month out of 12.
How do we get this money?
Right. We could create the earth in 7 days, but we need a whole month to figure out how we're going to take people's money.
Right, exactly.
But listen, the bottom line is that whatever has happened by the time this airs, delay always favors us.
Yes.
Okay. When they pull bills back to amend them, even if they've jammed them both through by the time this airs, okay, it's bought us extra time. They've been embarrassed. I mean, Anthony, you were there at the hearing. You remember there were people from the other side complaining about certain aspects
mental
of the bills.
Mental health professionals.
Yes. So, you know, anything can happen. And that's the thing. 2013 proved this. This is before we knew Governor Christie was with us. In 2013, it looked equally dire, and we kept on going no matter what the odds were. We gave it everything we had, and then we had these little, I call them divine interventions, the confiscate,
yep,
the delays,
yep,
things that pushed bills that were supposed to pass in March into July, and by that time, we were able to convince Governor Christie to go the other way on them. So, you know, you don't know until you actually go through the process. So, you know, the takeaway for everybody is even when the odds seem insurmountable, you've got to keep going. You've got to give it everything you have, every inch of the way. Listen, the odds are against us, and no matter what happens,
oh, yeah,
I mean, we expect these bills to pass, and we're ready to sue over them. But the bottom line is you never know what's going to happen. And sometimes we do get these little gifts from above, and when we do, we run with them. So, everybody, please, your activism makes a difference, even though it doesn't feel like it. It feels futile at the time. It feels like a waste of time. We know what the vote count's going to be on most of these committees. But the process itself is really important. It has an impact on both sides, legislators on both sides of the aisle. And the minute we stop doing that is the minute they all get emboldened.
Correct.
Yes, exactly.
You think
Correct.
It's bad now? It could get worse, for
Much
sure.
Worse. Yeah, so it could be just this streamlined boom. Right into there. If they sense no resistance. And honestly, Scott, I think they have sensed no resistance because a lot of times people just don't turn out and you get weary, you know, of constantly contacting your legislators and realizing that they just don't give a crap and on and on and on. But like you say, it's time we turn the tables on death by a thousand cuts. We have to constantly just keep coming at them.
Yeah, well, listen, it worked that way. I would question your premise that, you know, there's been silence from our side or we're...
No, I'm just talking about the gun owner themselves. It's always... You guys are... You're there like 24 hours a day. Every time I see you, you look like you've just been beat up by a bat. You're there all the time. You're constantly working. But the average Joe, you go down to like Central Jersey... Rifle and Pistol Club, and I guarantee you that 90% of those people there voted for this idiot.
I disagree. Central Jersey is a pretty hardcore club.
They are activists.
They've supported us every step of the way. That is a great club. But here's the thing. In 2013, our guys came through. When the threat was at its gravest, our guys really came through big time. Since Christie revealed himself as being with us, which took an effort, okay, I can say now. I couldn't say it at the time, but it took an effort. You know, it's faded a little bit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the last few years, Darren Goins and I are the only ones showing up in Trenton for the most part. And now the threat is here again. It's real. It's grave. And our guys are coming through. So,
which is kind of like a blessing in disguise in a way, because we're drawn into the complacency where we don't really want to. When everything feels okay and you take a breather, nobody really wants to come out in mass. But I think this is going to be, I think it's different on both sides.
But remember, the outcome of 2013, the reason why we're not fighting 85 gun bills at one time, mm-hmm. is because we masked like crazy in 2013. They learned that lesson.
Yep.
And now, even with their limited pool of seven, they held one of them at the hearing on the 28th, and the other six, they have to amend some of them. So, you know, they know we're tenacious. They have to keep knowing we're tenacious. Not only are we tenacious, but we're smart, and we keep embarrassing them.
Yep.
We keep pulling the rug out from under them. They think they have these polished proposals, and we keep embarrassing them, and it frustrates the hell out of them.
Yeah. Because they really do not know what the hell they're talking about.
And they don't care. I mean,
no, they don't really care.
They take these one-size-fits-all solutions, like this bill on private sales. You know that came out of Gun Control Central
without a doubt.
In D.C., targeted at states, you know, where there isn't a background check for private sales. New Jersey may be the only state in the union where you do need a background check for private sales. So somebody says, hey, let's pass this in New Jersey where we can pass it, not realizing that you can't do a private 100%. Sale without a background check.
Right.
Okay, but they bring it here anyway. And then when we point it out, it embarrasses them.
Right.
Okay, I mean, you know, the problem is the lawmakers are listening to some of the national gun ban crazies.
Right.
They take whatever they say at face value, and then they pay the price for it. It's like originally with Senator Weinberg back. I remember when Bob Vidon at a hearing in the early 2000s came in with like 12 different 50 caliber rounds that he cleared with the state police.
Yep.
And back then, Senator Weinberg was an assemblywoman, and Bob Vidon, like, he just pointed at had this thing of rounds in front of him, and you know she was talking about the 50 BMG, and Bob's there with like 50 other rounds that are banned, and she just threw up her hands and said, well, I don't know about any of this stuff, and just left the hearing room.
Yeah.
You know, she admitted her ignorance on it. So, you know, we keep exploiting that, and they'll never get it because all these proposals are just an excuse to chip away at our rights.
Right.
So
absolutely.
None of them are sound.
Absolutely.
Okay. Why isn't there the call to severely punish violent criminals? And
correct.
To make it stick? That's what
we
it
have.
Would take.
We have bail reform, catch and release, revolving door criminal justice system in New Jersey.
And that has to be, I think that has to be our focal point where we come out on a one issue that really kind of flips the table on them and get very emotional about it and really use our clout where the average person doesn't even understand this or know this, that criminals are being routinely turned back out on the street just to make the prosecutor's job a little easier, and they consider it a win anyway.
Right, because it goes in the statistic.
In the statistic, right.
Yeah, it's bad. We ought to talk about, after the break, what really will make schools safer.
It's all yours.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk during the break about something else.
Making sure that we don't have high-capacity, rapid-fire magazines that allow mass killings.
Maybe we shouldn't have high magazine clips.
Gas-assisted receiver firearms.
Machine gun magazines.
And what sounded like automatic rounds.
Seeing if we can get automatic weapons that kill folks in amazing numbers.
If I wanted to fire this on full semi-automatic.
Well, why do we need jumbo clips?
The best
do you know what a barrel shroud
at that
is?
Particular time. I actually don't know what a barrel shroud is.
Okay, because
it's
in your legislation.
It's a shoulder thing that goes up.
No, it's not.
What the District of Columbia was trying to do was to protect toddlers from guns.
It is harder to buy cough medicine than it is to buy an AK-47 or 50 of them.
It is easier for a teenager to buy a Glock than get his hands on a computer or even a book.
It's legal to hunt humans with 15-round, 30-round, even 150-round magazines.
And he was not able to buy a weapon that shoots off 700 rounds in a minute.
Pistols are different. You have to pull the trigger each time. An assault weapon, you basically hold it, goes blah, blah, blah.
No, those are fully automatic weapons.
Okay. This right here has ability with a 30-caliber clip to disperse with 30 bullets within half a second.
Use these silencers to make them more available, which, as you
because
can imagine...
Because the hunters, their ears were hurting.
If you want to protect yourself, get a double-barrel shotgun. Put that double-barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
If you ban them in the future, the number of these high-capacity magazines is going to decrease dramatically over time because the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
But some of these bullets, as you saw, have an incendiary device on the tip of it, which is a heat-seeking device. So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
But that deer deserves to get away. Let's get serious here. Boom!
So March 26, 9 a.m. at the Veterans Military Park. 9 a.m.
Do we know
March
where that
26.
Is?
You can
it's on Barrack Street in Trenton. It's a block from the State House.
You could find it. If you're that art-hearted,
then stay home. It's the war memorial.
It's the war memorial. If you're that art-hearted, stay home.
If you took 195 down to 33, you're going to find
it. It looks like the Rocky steps, the Rocky ramp.
Email from Gary Roth. We should all dress the same way, dress clean cut. We've all talked about this before. And also, Bob T. said, thank you for going to Trenton for us, guys. And, you know, Bob, you better be at this rally, please, all right? I want to see you at the rally, 326. How to make schools safer, Scott Bach.
Okay, look.
Put them all in the military.
I can't believe, I've been hearing this since 2013, since Newtown.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing it again, and I just can't believe it, okay? Anytime you even suggest putting armed police or armed personnel in a school, the other side goes crazy about we're turning schools into prisons.
Mm.
It's going to scare the children, okay? Because I guess we'd rather have
blood and bodies
than people frightened.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, we can debate gun policy from today until eternity.
Right.
At the end of the day, in a school emergency, there's only one thing that's going to stop somebody committing an atrocity, and that is an armed person.
Right.
Okay.
And that's why they dial 911.
We're having these marches for people who want to just ban stuff from people, which will not have any direct effect on what happens in a school. We're ignoring the most direct thing.
Yes, we
are. In that moment, in the moment of a tragedy or an emergency, if you're not prepared, you're set up for slaughter. That is not debatable. It's not arguable. If we want our children and our schools to be safe, there should be armed law enforcement or other qualified trained personnel there. Okay? And if law enforcement fails like it did in Florida, a civilian who's properly trained ought to have a fighting chance.
Yep.
How can you ignore that reality?
Right.
If they were marching to put armed police in every school, and God knows we pay enough taxes that some of that school taxes, that should happen, I would march with them because I believe in that.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, but I find it so difficult to accept.
Yes, I do too.
That people, that, I mean, they're out there. Listen, the agenda, it's irrational.
Yeah.
The agenda is to go after civilian gun ownership, not to make schools safer. If you look at what they're doing and saying, it's all about going after law-abiding citizens.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with making schools safer. Because guess what? If you waved a magic wand and made every firearm and every magazine in the world instantly disappear, there would still be school incidents.
Yeah,
there would be mass
attacks.
Throwing rocks
and bottles and knives and sticks.
Right. And don't tell me that a knife is less lethal. Look at the Chinese railway massacre where 20-something people were murdered on a train platform because people have a victim mentality.
Right.
Okay?
Yep.
And
that's our progressive mentality.
How
running
that's
anybody.
Communism and socialism says, let the authorities take care of it. I can't do anything. And when you go to socialism in Britain, Fabian socialism, if you and I are attacked and we fight back, we go to jail.
Yep.
Listen, we cannot let that happen in this country.
And it's happening.
And listen, people can have opinions about gun rights.
Right.
Right.
That's a
there
different
aren't
discussion
opinions
for a
about
time.
How to keep a school
right,
safe.
Exactly.
You could ban everything and the school's still not safe. You still have to be prepared for an emergency.
You can keep a courtroom safe, police department safe.
Right. Or legislative, a state house safe.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Does that feel
safe.
Like a prison when you're sitting in there testifying and you're surrounded
the cops
by
rotate
armed?
Out.
Or a Hollywood function, you know?
Yeah, right. Where they sweep the area with armed personnel.
There's no excuse for it. It is wrong.
Right.
And it's, I'll go so far as to say it's evil.
Because, it is evil.
Because what it is it's giving this false sense. It's now we're co-opting people who are potential victims and having them speak out while we're ignoring the one most direct interventional thing that could stop an attack in its tracks.
Right.
Okay. And it's just beyond words to me.
Well, we talked about this last week and the week before, too, is the fact that it's not about the children.
Nope.
It's always been about the money, the votes, the power.
Correct.
And I believe that we're seeing a resurgence of the Communist Party trying to infiltrate, but both and they're using our own social media to do it. Russia is doing it. Russia organizes Black Lives Matter, and then they organize the other side. They organize the pro-communist and the pro-fascist, and the social media bots are trumping up everybody to get them crazed, and unfortunately they know how the American public reacts and human beings react. Everything's based on emotion. So,
and who isn't angry after a school tragedy or mass murder?
You'd have to be a sociopath not to care about that, and yet I think the government loves to point blame at other things, but when they come all the way and they circle back to it, they point the finger always in the same direction, and that's at us.
Yep.
We're the problem. No matter what the problem is, we are the problem. They are the government, so they need to quash our rights in order to solve the problem. And you see it happen over and over and over and over again with
it's
every
really
one
sad.
Of our rights. It is sad. And because we're so caught up in our own daily bullshit that we allow it to happen. We've allowed the school systems to stop teaching the Constitution. You know.
Yeah, but we're teaching about the 3,184 genders.
Yeah, exactly.
And how our forefathers raped and pillaged and were slave owners, which we can't really apologize for that anymore. It's 200 years too late.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how we've gone, how unhinged liberal. I mean, look at the Prime Minister of Canada. He doesn't want us to say mankind. They say person kind.
Person kind, yeah.
Please.
Come on.
Please.
I mean,
it's just, I don't know where it goes from here other than the other way. You know, and if history is
this is what Cassie Dillon was saying. She said the next generation was the Generation Z.
Generation Z.
They tend to be conservative.
Yeah. Hmm. And it's happening. It happens, you know. I've been doing a lot of work on this timing issue of when the societal swings happen. And it seems to happen about every 80 years. And if you go back and you look at 80 years, it's the guy who's done most of the work on it, he has two points, the me generation and the we generation. In the me generation is the Ronald Reagan sort of thing where, you know, the rugged individualist, the things that we, probably all you guys listening out there would probably relate to, all right? And the we generation, which is almost at its zenith right now, when that hits its final zenith, that was during the time of Weimar Republic, where everybody's concerned, the social good is more important than the individual. We'll sacrifice the individual. That's pure socialism. Sacrifice the individual for the public good. And
the perceived public good.
The perceived public good. And we have, you know, another 20 or 30 years before it finally starts to swing back. But that's that generation. That's Generation Z. that's going to hopefully save the day if it isn't gone by then. But I am so concerned over what's going on now and how it's repeating itself, and that the American public, really, we have our heads up our behind.
Yeah.
We're just not seeing any of this.
It's truly scary. I mean, I thank God for organizations like NRA that stand for bedrock principles that don't change.
They don't change.
There is such a thing as bedrock principles that don't change. But listen, I mean, all of us who have been activists, Anthony, you know this, you know, more than anybody. I mean, we have targets on our backs.
Oh, I've got numerous threats.
We pay a price for standing up for what's right.
I paid a big price. We'll discuss that in the future.
Exactly. You just don't have a target. You've been wounded.
Yeah.
You've actually got battle scars from this.
Yes.
And it's all because of who you are and because you're an activist. In the community.
Yep.
But imagine what the community would be like without Anthony.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Thank God, Anthony.
Right.
I mean, listen, you've been an inspiration to so many people, including, I don't know how many people know this, but Anthony gave me my first NRA certified instruction 25 something years ago.
Yes.
He's the one who brought me up to Cherry Ridge and said, Scott, you need to join ANJRPC. Okay. As I like to say, Anthony, you've ruined my life.
I ruined his life.
But. I mean, think about if you didn't stand up, Anthony, the ripple effect you've had is massive.
Right. Exactly.
We've all created ripples, for sure. The problem is this generation now and the people we have, there's too many armchair warriors and activists.
Right.
You know, people need to get out and actually do things. And it's hard. I know everybody's busy. You know, we're in a rat race in the New York metropolitan area.
Yeah.
People don't have any free time.
No.
They work, juggle their kids, pay taxes, and die.
And the politicians do this on purpose. They make sure they penalize us, like Menendez, right? I mean, it's our money.
Yes, Sweeney.
Sweeney.
Look at the psychological thing when we went down to the assembly, right? We sit in the well. We sit below them.
Yes,
get there 9 in the morning to get seats in an overflow room.
Right.
They don't start. Supposed to start at 10, I think, or 11. It didn't start till 11:30, quarter to 12. And then they rotate out to eat, and we have to sit there. And if you had some M&Ms or Cheez-Its in your pocket or something, and then they want you to testify when your blood sugar's low and you're tired and worn down. It's all psychological, right,
Scott? While they have their catered lunches on their fine china, and unfortunately, look at that building that we pay for that they work in.
Yeah, it's opulent.
Oh, absolutely.
With the gold dome.
Yes.
It's
opulent.
Yeah, just like the places we
live.
Just
like Animal Farm.
Yes,
again,
exactly.
What I picture in the back during their lunch is the scene when they came in and all the pigs were wearing the human clothes and they were eating. Standing on their hind legs in their, wearing human clothes and eating. That's what I picture going on back there.
Yeah.
I swear to God, that's what I picture.
I don't know about the state house, but I haven't been there. But I have been in the federal system, and I've seen what goes on there, and it is true.
Yeah. I can imagine what those 535 offices look like. I know there's a hierarchy, right? The speaker and the Senate president have right?
And there's different when you have to line up to get on two elevators, there's a block, a whole grid of elevators for members only that are all, you know, nice, shiny, gold plated, and one for everyone else.
Of course.
And then you see
their time
exactly
is more valuable than us.
Oh, of course it is. Absolutely.
Everybody should read Animal Farm. If you have not read it, I don't even know if they let them read it in school
anymore. I don't think they let them read
Probably
it.
Probably not.
No, right? Just let them see Animal House.
Animal House. George Orwell's Animal Farm. You can read the book in an afternoon.
Yeah.
You will laugh your ass off. Scott, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks.
We have Multi-State CCW, Urban Pistol, Urban Carbine, Hemorrhage Control Class is coming up. I can't stress it enough. March 26, 9 a.m., Sandy in Trenton. Go ahead, Sandy. You close it up. I'm done. I'm done with you.
Well, if you are not a member of the NRA and ANJRPC, you better join now, because let me tell you something. Numbers really mean things. We have to support the organizations that are doing the most work. ANJRPC, that is the only NRA organization, right, Scott?
In New Jersey.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you got to go where the power is, and the power is there. And we've got to stick together. And please come out on the rally, because even if we just meet each other, I mean, you know how it is when you can finally sit down.
Yeah, bring cigars and Slim Jims.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some Slim Jims. Oh, and maybe a catheter or two, because they lock us out of the...
Depends.
Some Depends. Or maybe just big mason jars or something like that, because they're going to lock us out again. You know that they're going to do that. No porta potties allowed.
No.
You know, maybe if the buses have some bathrooms on it, whatever we can do.
Well, we'll be back again next week live when the big guy returns from Wally World, when you can then again waste another perfectly good hour listening to Gun for Hire Radio. Gun for Hire Radio is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music LLC in New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. Have a great week. To go shine.